Good morning. Hi, I'm Dara Graham with Active Community Health Network for Westside Healthy Start. And we're also going to just speak briefly on some lessons learned thus far through our programming. I, too, have a no relationship to disclose, as well as my partners who worked on this presentation. So, an overview. I want to provide a historical overview of access and Westside Healthy Start as a whole, and also discuss some strategies to improve access to care and improve health outcomes. We probably won't discuss any best practices beyond what's on the slides with the time that we have. But generally, I just want to kind of give a very brief intro into what Access and Westside Healthy Start has been doing thus far with the new grant changes, as you saw some of the outcomes and benchmarks that were presented earlier. So Access Community Health Network is one of the largest federally qualified health center organizations in the country. Our mission is to provide outstanding preventative and primary health care accessible to all in their own community. So we really want to make a point of people not having to leave their communities in order to access care, but also to be a part of the process. Our focus is on patient and family-centered community-based health care. Part of that is to eliminate racial and ethnic health disparities. We have recently had one of the nation's first NIH-funded research centers devoted to engaging Chicago residents in meaningful research designed to affect their communities at large. Also, we engage patients in prevention and screening and provide cutting-edge information and technology to improve and extend patient care beyond our walls with partnering hospitals and organizations. So our history. Our roots are on the west side of Chicago from the mid-1980s. We were established in 1991 as a federally qualified health center and currently have 35 operating community health centers in Chicago and suburban Cook County and DuPage County. 32 of these health centers do provide OB services, and we have been a Healthy Start grantee since 1997. So there's a lot of numbers on this slide, and I'm not going to say them all, but this year Access will serve more than 175,000 low-income individuals and families, including more than 31,000 uninsured patients. And obviously with the ACA, we obviously want to make that number go lower and have been doing so with our benefit counselors in conjunction with programs. Last year alone, Access provided care to 7,314 pregnant women, of which some also having hypertension, diabetes, and asthmatic patients as well. And we also provide primary care and mental health services and care management for more than 900 men and women with HIV/AIDS. So we work from a patient-centered care model. Access understands the needs of today's working families, and therefore we work with our families who are struggling to make ends meet. With that being said, our centers are open for extended hours. So not only do we work during the weekdays, but we also work on the weekends and also offer a call center for those who call in off hours so that we can continue to meet their needs. Access recently received the highest level of recognition for its adoption of a patient-centered medical home, so commonly known as PCMH model, by the National Council on Quality Assurance. And moving on, we can see this is Access. Westside Healthy Start is part of Access, and I said have been so since 1997. As a whole, Westside Healthy Start is a national Healthy Start leader with an established model for integrating medical care, social supports, and community action to improve birth outcomes and reduce infant mortality on Chicago's West Side. Chicago's West Side is pretty much the highest of rates of all poverty and anything you can think of that is for the highest risk of women. And with that being said, the infant mortality rate is more than double the national rate in the West Side communities. This area is comprised of three FQHCs for West Side Healthy Start. So not only is it Access, which I represent, but it's also Lawndale Christian Health Center and PCC Community Wellness Center. And through Westside Healthy Start, we serve 800 low-income, predominantly African-American patients annually. And this can be lined up with that we're a level two Healthy Start program, so this is online with that. Also, we have a 17-year history of collaborating with safety net hospitals and other community service providers as part of Westside Healthy Start as well. So I kind of just want to go in and kind of talk about some strategies that we have used with the new grant period that have had some changes from traditional things that we have been doing, and part of that is our partnership model. So as I said before, we are a partnership model of three federally qualified health systems. Access has four Healthy Start clinics out of our 35, because the West Side communities that we are serving are East and West Garfield, North Lawndale, and the Austin communities. Lawndale Christian Health Center has two organizations, clinics out of them, and PCC also has two. And part of this is that we want to recognize that the infant mortality rate for these areas is at 14.1, and this is not information taken from 2007 and 2009, but that Westside Healthy Start in particular, this last performance report, we had no infant deaths. However, I want to say that it was a very short reporting period that we recently had, but the previous grant year, our rate was 6.1. And for the actual target area for Westside Healthy Start, it was 14.1. And Chicago as a whole, it was 7.6 for 2012. So part of working through an FQHC is that we use the patient-centered medical home model that I mentioned earlier. Our community health workers and case managers are integrated within the community and the health centers. So part of this is that we work full of a team, so not just folks who are under our Healthy Start grant, but also our behavioral health team, the providers and doctors, the MAs, our risk and prevention team, who also has many programs that are like Ryan White to coordinate care. And part of this is that we work within the huddles in the systems within the clinic. So each day and every morning, everyone huddles up to make sure that the patients that are coming in for the day are receiving all the services and needs that they need for that day. Also, risk screenings are now integrated into our care models with consistent identification of high-risk women and tracking and reporting. So all three of our FQHCs are on electronic medical records. PCC and Lawndale are on Centricity, and Access is on Epic Care, which also has an Epic link to one of our largest delivering hospitals, so that allows our medical records to be seen while women are there for delivering, and also for us to get real-time information on their delivery data. And Healthy Start learnings and best practices have helped Access lay the foundation for MCH care broadly. So while Access has been doing community health work for a very long time, Healthy Start has informed what our MCH is across the entire network, not just the four Westside clinics that we serve. And part of this is that we are represented on our quality groups across the organization as a whole for OB and for infant care as well. And also recently we did a quality improvement project for adequacy of care for the Westside clinics that has also made impact on the rest of the OB system for Access. So another strategy that we have used as part of our model is house parties, an innovative model for health education. So house parties, I know when you hear house party, you do not think of anything that's necessarily related to coming to a health center or getting your care, but this is kind of a way for us to meet people where they are. So we use personal stories and group discussions in order to facilitate workshops in the homes and in community events. So all of our outreach workers reside in the communities that we are going out and giving health education through, and many of them have also been past participants in our program. And have kind of grown through the ranks. I know some of you may know Tamala Milan, who has kind of grown to a national level with both Healthy Start and other initiatives for maternal and child health. So she also participates in this. But the MCH house parties provide health education in community-based settings on MCH topics, including early entry into prenatal care. And the point is that staff promote fun and comfortable atmosphere with interactive games, prizes, and refreshments to engage folks and raise awareness about maternal and child health issues, as well as increase access to care. So we have pre and post tests that are part of the house parties to kind of gauge people's knowledge of what they may have known about the topic, what they may know about access in general, or early entry into care, or if they have a medical home, things like that to kind of gauge where they stand. And so hopefully with our post tests, we can also see that afterwards they know where they can get care in their community, they know the importance of getting it, and when to go. So through that, participants receive referrals to healthcare, links to social services, and education on topics related to MCH. So this is kind of just a brief example of some of the topics that take place in the house parties. This MCH outreach team completed 12 house parties with 104 participants in this past grant year. And most of the events took place in the Westside Target area, as we are trying to make more of a collective impact, so we make sure that we are actually staying in our boundary areas as well. So we transitioned from doing more participant-level house parties to transitioning doing house parties in the community-based organizations. So a lot of them have been taking place in like homeless shelters or community-based baby showers and events in order to make more of a community-level impact. So some of the accomplishments that we've seen thus far. So 76% of WHS participants entered prenatal care in the first trimester. This is only new enrollments from September 2014 to May 2015, so our new grant year period. Although WHS serves high-risk population, early entry into care is on track with Access's rate. So Access covers all of the Chicagoland area and some of the suburban. So to be on track with Access's overall is a great feat. So this is also the highest disparity neighborhood as well. So we find that actually as an accomplishment to kind of stay in that rate. But Westside Healthy Star also performs better than the target population, with 74% of Black women in the target area starting prenatal care in the first trimester. So our last strategy that I'm kind of going to talk about is our strategy to improve breastfeeding initiation and duration. And we all know that breastfeeding amongst low-income African-American women can be said sometimes as obsolete. Breastfeeding reduces the risk of SIDS and improves maternal and child health overall. However, low rates of breastfeeding initiation and duration among low-income African-American women prevent our target population from experiencing these benefits. Only 52% of low-income African-American women in Illinois initiate breastfeeding, compared to 64% for low-income white women and 85% for Hispanic women. This here is kind of our breastfeeding counselor workflow in a nutshell, and I kind of just wanted you guys to see that we're kind of doing it in a three-tier approach. The first is the third trimester, and this is in addition to case management services and all the other services that they're already getting. But this is the third trimester visit where we talk about breastfeeding intentions and goals, using the Best Start three-step counseling model, and talking about the benefits and kind of preemptive talking about what their goal is for breastfeeding, what they think they may want to do, how does their family feel about it or their male partner, so that we can kind of gauge where do we need to go from here prenatally. And we also arrange for any ordering of breast pumps or contact information for who will do their postpartum follow-up as well. Also, our next tier is hospital rounds, which I will get into in more detail, and then our postpartum follow-up, which is broken into three sections: the 0 to 3 weeks postpartum, where there's weekly phone calls or home visits to nursing moms who are on caseload, then 3 weeks to 3 months postpartum, which is biweekly phone calls or home visits, and then 3 months to 6 months postpartum, which is monthly phone calls or visits. So to break it down, our breastfeeding support model is an evidence-informed breastfeeding initiation and duration approach. And there's kind of 4 steps to what that looks like. We wanted to intervene on multiple levels before, during, and after delivery to maximize the opportunities to support breastfeeding with Healthy Start participants. And this is based on the CDC guides to strategies to support breastfeeding mothers and babies. So our first step is the prenatal education and Best Start three-step counseling that I mentioned during the third trimester visit. Best Start counseling engages women where they are, so before delivery, and starts the conversation about breastfeeding attitudes, knowledges, and intentions. Then we have the hospital partnership to implement baby-friendly hospital initiative. And on a community level, hospital collaboration promotes environmental conditions friendly to breastfeeding at a crucial moment of delivery. And this is kind of a part that we are definitely still working at. We sit on their baby-friendly committee at our largest delivering hospital, as well as with our interact with the IBCLCs who are part of our breastfeeding rounds. But I think this part is something that's going to have the largest impact, or I shouldn't say the largest, but a very large impact of the community at large for breastfeeding on the west side. And then also weekday hospital rounds to provide lactation support at time of delivery and routine contact to 6 months postpartum with WHS participants. So the Best Start three-step counseling. It's a three-step approach. The first is to ask an open-ended question. This will elicit a mother's particular barrier to choosing breastfeeding and allow you to hone in on her personal issues. It is an efficient way to direct your educational efforts toward her concerns. So examples of this would look like, what have you heard about breastfeeding? Or what concerns do you have about breastfeeding? And then we would move on to step two, which is to affirm her concerns. And this step is critical for several reasons. It helps her realize that you are in fact listening to her. It normalizes her concerns. It lets her know you don't consider her concerns silly or stupid. And importantly, this helps her develop a relationship with you. And examples of what that look like would be, you know, I hear that worry from lots of women, good for you to mention that, or many women wonder if their diet has to be really good to breastfeed. And these are some common concerns that some of the women have. And then step three would be to provide targeted education directed to her specific concerns. And something that would look like is, did you know that breast works to make quality milk even when your diet is not great? And there are lots of ways to feed your baby when you are separated. Here is a pamphlet to help you return to work. So during hospital rounds, we have two breastfeeding counselors. They both are CLCs. They are also trained doulas. The breastfeeding counselors complete rounds on all women on the mother-baby unit, whether breastfeeding or not, to provide education. They go to the hospital 5 days a week. Sometimes they work the weekend, depending on the schedule. They encourage mom to attempt initiation. So a lot of our women, they may know about breastfeeding. They got the education prenatally. They got it from their doctor. But kind of making that jump from education to initiation is sometimes the harder part. And just having somebody present who's able to help with that is usually the best part. So if mom is having trouble with latching or positioning, the counselors do that. And then also they case conference with hospital staff. We have very close relationships with the IVCLCs, the nurses, and the providers to support mom. And this form on the side is just how we document. We have a red cap system that we're currently using for Westside Healthy Start that allows us to document across the grant. And that's where kind of that information goes. So I want to give you some of the, and I'm going to start talking even faster than I already was, so bear with me. But the results for the hospital round. So you can see here, we have the numbers from January to September. Our October numbers are in, but we didn't want to put them in there. So in the last 3 months alone, we averaged 67% initiation rate for the entire hospital rounds. Our highest initiation rates have been 69%, which has happened 3 months. And highest number of women rounded on in a month was 258. So overall, we rounded on approximately 2,000 women from January to September during hospital rounds. So the accomplishments, 64% of Westside Healthy Start participants initiated breastfeeding, a large achievement for our high-risk population, and this is for our last grant period. Programmatically, our initiating breastfeeding goal for calendar year 2014, and mind you, these are step-ups to the larger goal that we saw earlier, was 58%, and starting from a baseline of 55%. So we exceeded that goal with the 64% of participants initiating breastfeeding. Breastfeeding counselors rounded on about 210 patients per month on average, and among these patients, about 65% initiated breastfeeding, higher than hospital average of 63%. So this is kind of our community level impact, that not only are we hitting our Healthy Start women, but we're also hitting the community level women at large. So in the past 10 years, we went from initiation rates of 45% to where we are today with 64%. And I just sped through that. Did I catch my five? Okay. So thank you. If you have any more information, this has both my contact information as well as my colleagues, Tamika Anderson Reeves, who is our program manager for partnership and outreach, and also Chelsea LaRuth, who is our manager of evaluation. Thank you.